Hello everyone and welcome to a special edition of the Cricket Unfiltered podcast, the News Corp Cricket podcast. I'm your host Andrew Mensel and I have on the line the Daily Telegraph's chief cricket writer Ben Horne. Ben, how are you?
I'm good, Menace. Just coming to grip with this test team that has a lot of new faces in it.
That's exactly why I've got you on the line. We're going to run through the first test team that's been announced by the Australian selectors today and go through all the issues there. My initial reaction, Ben, is shock and horror at the team that has been announced. Just give me your first feelings when you heard the team.
Well, look, the Tim Payne selection is a shock. I mean, it is the definition of a bombshell. But for me, I've heard Tim Payne's name mentioned in dispatches all summer. But the shock is, if that was the case, if he was legitimately being considered for some time, how has he not worn the gloves for Tasmania this year? It's a staggering preparation to an Ashes series that the keeper has not worn the gloves for his state team once. He had one game keeping for the Cricket Australia 11, which went well for him, but then the very next week he was slotted back into the Tasmanian team as a specialist batsman. So try follow that. He's a good gloveman, so I don't necessarily disagree with the selection. I think he'll do as good a job as anyone they could have picked, but it's hard to follow the way we've got to this point.
Yeah, I'm actually having a hard to listen to you because my head is just swirling with emotions. I mean, this is where the unfiltered bit of this podcast comes in because I think this is a ludicrous selection. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is one of the biggest clangers the selection panel has had in the last few years. How can you pick a wicketkeeper that hasn't made a Shield ton for 11 years? He's not even a Shield keeper. You've got Peter Neville, who last season was considered good enough to play Test cricket, was dropped, and then went away and scored over 500 runs in the Shield to prove his worth, and he's not given a call-up. It's ridiculous, Ben.
The only justification that's been given so far from Trevor Hone, put out a statement this morning, he's the national selector, is that Payne, you know, is someone that they've had their eyes on for a long time. He's a quality gloveman. That can't be disputed. He played four tests back in 2010, and if it wasn't for an untimely injury, he may have played more. But it does seem like Payne's form with the bat this season, albeit in pretty weird circumstances, he made a 50 in a tour match against England, which is a good effort, but those tour games were not, it's hard to say whether that's the same level as a Shield match. And then he was called in and made a 70-odd for Tassie against Victoria, where some have suggested that, you know, Tasmania probably should have declared long before with the weather coming in. So it seems on that form that he's got in. And when you look at the other wicketkeepers around the country, including Neville, no one else has scored a half century this season, except Bancroft, who's being picked as an opener. But I guess that's the only thing that's got him there, is that no one else, none of these other candidates, including Neville, have done anything in the three matches this season. Whether you think that should be the defining criteria or not is massively up for debate, but that's the thing. He scored 50s and no one else has.
Yeah, but this is one of the big criticisms of the selection panel and Australian cricket at the moment, is that we have a first-class competition, but they're not using it to select players. They say it is the breeding ground for Test cricketers, yet they just look on somebody that was, you know, someone's potential from 10 years ago, and they pluck him out for the biggest series in Australian cricket since the last Ashes series 4 years ago. Mm. I just can't fathom it. And I think part of this does come down to Neville doing two things. He didn't bash the door down and score runs this season, which would have made it hard for them not to pick Peter Neville. But also, there is something to the fact that they don't like his persona, that he's not energetic enough. I'm thinking of actually getting him on this podcast and just going through a sledging lesson with him, because I reckon I could teach him to sledge with the best of them.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. I think there probably was a reluctance to go back to someone that they dropped only a year ago. Whether that's just stubbornness, I'm not sure. But yeah, there's no doubt. I don't think that if Neville had made a big score to start this season, he just would have been in. He was very, very close anyway, I think. But look, the most bizarre thing about this for me is not Payne versus Neville, it's Payne versus Wade. Because the very strong suggestion out of Tasmania and across Australian cricket has been that Matt Wade's cards were marked and he was virtually no chance of being picked this summer after, falling out of favour in Bangladesh. And if that's the case, and, it's not confirmed, Trevor Holmes has just said it was based on his batting and keeping form. But if Wade was never a serious consideration and Payne was, it's just difficult to understand how a call wasn't made at some point in the past 3 weeks to swap those two over and give Payne a crack. So it's a complicated situation, but that's the part of it that I find most perplexing.
Well, I don't think they knew 2 weeks ago who the keeper was going to be and probably why the call wasn't made. All right, let's go through this squad from top to bottom, the big surprises, the big talking points. We started with the wicketkeeper, Tim Payne, but let's go to the top of the order. David Warner's got a new opening partner for this Ashes series. He has Cameron Bancroft, who's replaced Matty Renshaw in the side. They talked about this three Shield games as being a bit of a bat-off to see who could make the Test side. Well, I think Renshaw's batted himself out of the Test side, unfortunately, because no one was talking about his place in the team, and then he looked so out of form in these three Shield games that he was usurped by Cameron Bancroft.
It's hard to argue with this one. I mean, initially, a couple of weeks ago when we were hearing some murmurs that Renshaw was in trouble, I thought that was very harsh because, the kid had played 10 matches since his debut, done very well under the circumstances, and it just didn't seem like there was any candidate to replace him. But then Bancroft came along and he's played three excellent innings in a row. And I can cop this selection. I mean, Bancroft had to be there somewhere. They probably had three spots they could have slotted him in. So he was always in. It was just a matter of where to pick him. And I guess they've done the right thing in picking him in his best spot. He's an opener. I think his combination with Warner will have promise. Like the right-hand, left-hand combination is always good. I do feel sorry for Matt Renshaw, but, he did get to a point there, I think, where perhaps it wouldn't have been good for him with his level of confidence to be going into an Ashes test.
Yeah, Bancroft's a great inclusion for two reasons. One, that he bashed the door down with the weight of runs at Shield cricket, so he's really forced his way in. You want to pick players in form when they're going to make their Test debut, so that's a great thing for Bancroft. Also, he was picked for an Australian tour just over 2 years ago that was cancelled, so he's been there or thereabouts for a couple of years.
Yes.
He looks very organised.
He does, and he would have played in the last two summers. He would have played last summer or even the one before if only he'd done what he's done this time and scored runs at the right time. His runs over the last couple of years have not come when the selectors have been looking at him. So that's the key difference. They knew he had talent. They've had their eyes on him. But his timing this time is very good. And based on that, it's a very good selection because as opposed to the Payne one, which has come out of left field, this is one that, it is a victory for the development process because he's a guy that they've put through the processes and had their eye on for 3 years. And at 24 years of age, he looks like he's ready to go.
And Renshaw now has to go back to Shield cricket and just get back to scoring runs for Queensland, and he's only a young man. Every Test player gets dropped at some stage, so I wouldn't think it'd be the end of his Test career.
No, the only concern for him, or there's probably a few, but it's Bancroft's spot now. So if Bancroft nails that spot, then it is going to be hard for Renshaw to come back because he's an opener and an opener only. But there is hope. I mean, he's 21. I mean, seriously, I think I read somewhere he scored more runs or his average is better than almost any Australian player in history at this age and has played this many tests. So there's nothing to be ashamed about his record so far. I mean, I think he's only scored a couple of runs less than Peter Handscomb in that period. So on that basis, he is desperately unlucky to be left out because in a point of crisis last year, he was the player that stood up for this new Australian team and set the foundation for a pretty good effort in India. So he's very, very unlucky, Renshaw, and I hope that that's not the end of him because I think he's got the character to be a good Test opener.
I mean, I spoke to Ian Chappell on the last podcast. I just want to drop that name in there because I can. But he was saying about Renshaw that he needs to learn to rotate the strike a bit more on the off and the on side to just get Warner back on strike quicker when he's opening with him. So that's something he needs to go and work on, I think.
I think that's true, although he only played a few games with Warner, and I don't remember that ever being a problem. I mean, it was with Renshaw at the other end that Warner made a century in a session at the SCG, so I think that that was a factor and an issue for Renshaw. The other one is sort of prodding at that ball outside off stump. I mean, I think he got caught behind basically for every dismissal in his six failures to start the Shield season. So there's a couple of little technical issues there, but he's got a great temperament and you can only hope that he improves.
Now, the next controversial selection, and I am dumbfounded at this one, Ben Horn. I am absolutely dumbfounded that they have recalled Sean Marsh into the side. And Trevor Holmes has said that Sean Marsh can bat anywhere. He brings flexibility, but there's only one spot for him to bat, which is number six. Can you fathom why they've gone back to someone that had been dropped 10 times and they seem to put a line through his name after the Indian tour? I mean, why have they done this?
Look, I also find it difficult to understand, but only on one level. I mean, I think on his form at the moment and what he's shown in Test cricket the last couple of years with the bat, I think it's a fine selection. I think he's improved in the last 3 years and he's an experienced head. I think
he'll
do well.
Are you sitting with Justin Langer? Is Justin Langer next year feeding you this stuff?
Well, I didn't compare him to Matt Hayden, so I'm not going that far. But
fair enough.
But the one concern I have with Sean Marsh, and this is the reason why I wouldn't have picked him, is because if you look at his record over the last 2 or 3 years, I reckon every sort of third, fourth, fifth Test match he's played, he's broken down with an injury. I know he's fit now, but he's had hamstring, back injuries. You know, it's just happened on a regular basis. And for that reason, I would have been very hesitant. And if he's in there, I don't think he can play all five tests this summer. I think at some point, they're going to have to get an all-rounder in there or another person in there because, you know, that could be extremely costly if his back seizes up as it did in the fourth test in India. And he's basically a passenger. So I'm not as outraged
as I am.
As you are, because I think as a batsman, I think it's a fine call. I don't mind it at all, but his body has me worried.
Well, in response to that, I think Sean Marsh is a bit of a knicker. I think Broad and Anderson and Wokes, they love bowling to batsmen like Sean Marsh that just, you know, prod a little bit outside that off stump. So I think he's a real target for them. I agree with you that it's good having a proper batsman at number six rather than trying to find an all-rounder that we don't have. But I think that, and, you know, this was a very strange one. Glenn Maxwell has not been mentioned by the selectors in their press release at all, yet Maxwell played in the last four tests for Australia in the middle order. I think Glenn Maxwell has been desperately unlucky to miss out on this team. He's been consistent while not being brilliant in the Sheffield Shield this season so far. I think this was the perfect opportunity to give him a chance at number six, an aggressive lower-order batsman, and they haven't. They've taken the safe mood, and I think Glenn Maxwell must be wondering if he'll ever play a test in Australia.
Yeah, I think that's entirely fair. I think Glenn Maxwell is the most unlucky man for that number six spot. Look, I guess in this situation, it's kind of similar to the wicket-keeping one that, you know, we might have found someone other than Sean Marsh if someone else had stood up with those big hundreds in the middle. But, look, I agree. I think Glenn Maxwell, a couple of 50, you know, I think he could have done a good job. But there's something there. I don't know whether it's to do with his technique against fast bowlers in Australia or whether it's a personality thing or whatever it is, but he just doesn't seem to, you know, to be in favour with the Australian selectors, and it's a real shame for him. But look, for me, I'm not surprised that he's not there because I just don't think he's someone that they've been looking at. But it doesn't mean that I don't think he's unlucky.
Outrageous, outrageous. Now, the other selection that is worth talking about is Chad Sayers is the 13th man in this squad, the South Australian swing bowler. He's been the leading wicket taker in Sheffield Shield cricket, I think, for the last 2 years. So he's like Bancroft, has knocked the door down. And they've said that Sayers is there for possibility playing in the day-night test at his home ground, the Adelaide Oval. So I'm no surprise that Sayers there or thereabouts, considering the injuries to Pattinson and Behrendorf.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. And, you know, we'll see what happens at the Gabba. I mean, if Pat Cummins comes out and takes 5 or 6, 7 wickets, it's pretty hard to leave him out of Adelaide if he's absolutely flying. But, you know, depending on the circumstances, it might be a good time to give Pat Cummins a spell because 5 tests summer is a huge workload for anyone, let alone someone who's never played more than 2 tests in a row and with his history of problems. So, look, he himself has said it's a complete wait and see to see how many tests he can get through this summer. Depending on the circumstances, this might be the chance to give him a rest in Adelaide.
Well, now that we've sort of gone through the team, what do you think of it? Just aside from the thoughts on the selections, do you think it's a team capable of beating England?
I do. Yeah. Look, it's a bizarre. Some bizarre things have happened in the selection of this team. There's some surprises, but in lieu of anyone completely jumping out of the box as a number six or a wicketkeeper this summer, I think it's a solid team. I mean, it's clearly a team that's been picked to win an Ashes series, not a team that's been picked to, you know, to shape the next 10 years of Australian cricket. I mean, I'd be surprised if we see Sean Marsh go to South Africa, for example, unless he absolutely shoots the lights out.
Oh, don't say that. I mean, you said to me Marsh has finished after the Indian tour, so I don't think you should ever put a line through Sean Marsh, ever.
No. Well, look, I think the reason why the line was put through, as it was with Steve O'Keefe, was there was a soft decision made to move on, but I guess it's a reflection of Australian cricket that no one else has come through, and one test later they had to recall Steve O'Keefe, and then two tests later they've had to recall Sean Marsh. So that's a concern. Wouldn't be surprised if we see a Marcus Stoinis or Hilton Cartwright play a part in this series at some point.
Yeah, obviously very sad news has come out in the last couple of days that Marcus Stoinis' father passed away, so he probably wasn't even considered for selection in this test match. And obviously our thoughts go out to him and his family. But I just want to have a bit of a whinge before I let the listeners go. This selection panel, there must be question marks surrounding it because they just don't seem to be able to make any firm decisions. They make one decision, then they backtrack, and then they pull people out of nowhere. I mean, we're going back to before Rod Marsh even took over when it was just a lottery.
Yeah, look, it looks like that. I mean, I actually thought that under Trevor Holmes last summer there was a bit more direction. You know, we saw them go to Renshaw, we saw them go to Hanscom and Wade, and I thought there was a bit more process going on there. Today's selection probably changes that a bit, but look, I'm not sure what to think of it. I mean, it always, selection is a tough job, and it's hard to truly judge this team until we've actually seen them play. I mean, I like the fact that we've got the most informed player in the country at the top of the order. I think Sean Marsh, if his body holds up, has the experience, and I don't think Tim Payne is going to do any worse than anyone else we could have picked based on what we've seen this Shield season. So, and look, the one thing is we've got a fast bowling attack that if they stay fit should put us in a position to win matches. So I don't mind this team. That might not be what most people think, but I think that this is a team that can win the Ashes.
Well, Ben, thank you very much for the positivity and your assessment of this Ashes team. Well, listeners, that was our recap of the major Ashes announcement that took place today. Some absolute shocks included in the Australian squad. Ben Horn from the Daily Telegraph has joined me to go through it, so that was great. Thanks, Ben. And if you haven't downloaded a show from earlier this week, we did a full show where I interviewed Robert Craddock and Ian Chappell about the upcoming Ashes. So download and listen to that. Thanks for your time, Ben. Listeners, thanks for downloading the show. You've been listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast, and we'll be back next week with a first test preview.